In this episode of the On That Net Show, we're going to dive into the Steeltool framework and learn about some of the tools and features that it gives .NET developers for building microservices. So stay tuned and check it out. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the On.NET Show. My name is Cecil Phillip, and today we're going to continue our conversation and we're going to learn a little bit about microservices with the Steeltool framework. Now, I'm really interested to talk about this framework because, you know, it's running on .NET Core 3.0. It's running as a part of the .NET Foundation set of projects. And we actually have some folks here from the team that are going to talk to us a little bit about how the project works and, you know, what are some of the benefits of us even looking at using Steeltool in some of the work that we do. So why don't you gentlemen introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about who you are and what do you do on the team?
Cool. Thanks, Cecil. David Dira. I am a technical marketing manager for Steeltool, actually within VMware, but we're a very big contributor to the open source product, so much so that we want to make sure it's successful in marketing. Been eat, sleep, and breathe.net for longer than I'm going to admit.
Nice.
Awesome. I'm Hananiel Sarala, and I've been with the Steeltool team for a couple of years now, but I've been a .NET developer for almost 20 years, just about as soon as .NET came out. And then later I switched to doing some Java development, and that made me a good fit for our team. And so here we are, very excited to be here as well. Thank you for having us on, Cecil.
Sure. I find like it's hard to just be around the technology space and not hear someone say the word microservices. It's like microservice this and microservice that and platforms and frameworks and libraries and all kinds of stuff. And I think it'll be really interesting to see what exactly Steeltool does for the .NET developer to make microservices like a really comfortable thing to do. I think when we talk about things like tooling, familiarity, you know, and just overall developer experience and ease of use, like those things are really important for adoption. So why don't we go ahead and take a look? I believe you all have some slides, and let's see what exactly Steeltool is all about.
First of all, why are we here talking about Steeltool? Why does it exist? It was created quite a few years ago in 2015 by a team actually within Pivotal. It was donated to the .NET Foundation a couple years later in 2017. It's a fully open source project, and the idea is to enable .NET developers to build best practice microservices, right? We're specifically talking about microservices within .NET. Why do you care about Steeltool? Because it makes programming .NET quicker, easier, safer, better, you know, all the keywords there, right? The key is, though, as you're going to see in some of the demos, Steeltool is going to abstract away all the boilerplate stuff, right? We're going to the cloud. We know how this should run. We know what it should look like. Why should I spend time doing that stuff? Get me into my business logic and into the real stuff as quickly as possible. This is a common question that we see. We all generalize and say .NET, right? But we have to be specific here. And in fact, when we talk about microservices, we're talking about ASP.NET. Right, and in that framework. So it's a common question that we see, can I just use .NET everywhere? Steeltool everywhere. And if you're gonna bring a console app into a container and do some things there, then you know we're talking. But for the most part, this is a web API project that's gonna benefit from all the Steeltool goodness. Just kind of driving that idea home, because again, we hear this a lot. We are not trying to replace .NET at all, one bit. .NET Core and .NET Framework have so much goodness in them. Steeltool was originally made for .NET Framework apps, and we continue that on. But it also adapted when .NET Core came out, because obviously that made microservices really, really easy. And so iConfiguration, you know, the hierarchy of configurations, the HTTP clients, you know, we can go on forever. .NET Core has introduced so much goodness. And so Steeltool just adds on top of that and says, well, I know what the cloud should look like. So I have a little more opinion than just straight up ASP.NET. So I can add more in here and take away from the developer, you know, some of that.
You know, if I can add to that, you know, one of the things that Steelto as a team tries to provide is good abstractions to abstract ourselves from other non-business logic concerns, whether it's the cloud you're running on or whether it is an interface you're programming to. Now, the Microsoft provides a lot of these. And a good example of this would be like an iLogger, right? So that is the standard for logging. But yet there are teams like Serilog that provide a lot of value on top of it. And you can also think of Microsoft health checks, and you can think of Zabril's open source contribution to health checks there and how they play together. Now, Steelto comes along and makes it even more easy to use those with other Spring Cloud type infrastructure, for example, Spring Boot Admin or Cloud Foundry. That's just an example, but that's how we work together and on top of what Microsoft has provided. And another quick example is originally when we started, when this team started, we did not have a way to collect GC events. And so we created an iPoll diagnostic source and kind of created a way to poll the GC and then republish to our metrics editions. Later, Microsoft came back and made event source available across all over the both framework and core and in Linux and everywhere. And as soon as they did that, we quickly adopted and used that. And now all those events are available for you in your metrics endpoint. That's an example of how we work together with Microsoft, definitely not replacing it, but making it better for an open source direction that Microsoft is going with. All right, I guess that brings me to my demo. And before we get started off with the demo, I just wanted to say quickly, you know, the microservices are here to stay. You know, they've been here for more than 10, 50, almost 12, 15 years now. And there's a lot of love for them. And also it was like the new hotness everybody ran to. And quickly people realized this doesn't work for us because there is drawbacks from adding moving to a microservices platform. And some of those drawbacks are it's hard to find what the problem is with your microservices when you have so many instances of your business logic spread all over the place. Now, when there is a problem, how do you find where the problem is? Another example is, okay, there's a problem with one part of my application or one microservice, and all the upstream microservices or downstream microservices are going down because of that. How do you isolate from that? That speaks to resilience, right? So we're going to take a quick look at a demo to show you how easy it is to add Steelto and get these benefits for free without a lot of fuss and not waste a lot of time and not get it all mingled up with your business logic. Your business logic stays in its lane and the microservice concerns are addressed separately and cleanly. And we'll take a quick look at that. All right, so we're in Visual Studio 2019. It's Community Edition. And we're going to create a new project. And we're going to create an ASP.NET Core. We want a web API application, like the basic template that comes with Microsoft. And we're going to start from there. And so I picked ASP.NET Core Web Application. Next, and we'll call it Web Application 3. That sounds good to me. And here we'll get a choice of what type of ASP.NET Core, and we want to say, you can pick empty, we're going to say an API application, and it will create it, and it's basically a simple weather app. It has a controller that spits out a sample weather data, right? So there you are, and so nothing exciting here. You got your regular program .cs with your iHost builder. You have your startup where you're setting up your dependency injection container, adding services to it, and then you're adding any middleware that you might want. You have the new endpoint routing available. Nothing fancy here, and we can take a quick look at the weather forecast. The controller. And again, really simple controller. And if you run this, let's run Web Application 3. You get your standard basic app running, right? Nothing exciting here. And so let's pretend for a second that this weather app is your business logic and it's doing its thing, but you're in a microservice environment and now you want to know there's 20 instances of this, let's say, and you want to know how it's doing. And that's a problem that a little steel toe component called endpoints that we provide, it kind of mirrors the Spring Boot actuators is how they work, and they work with other things that that use them, such as Cloud Foundry or Spring Boot Admin open source project, for example. So what we're going to do now is add a NuGet for Steeltoe. So we have our add NuGet packages interface, and here we're going to search for let's search for endpoint core, and we have Steeltoe's management Steeltoe management endpoint core, which helps you add endpoints to your application. So you're going to get the latest and install it. And you're required to accept the open source license, which should be fine. And then what we do next is go back into your program.cs and add a single line here that basically says add health actuator.
Okay.
And that's pretty much all you have to do to add an endpoint. And let's run this application again and see what that does.
And as that is spinning up there, so what happened there? Add health actuator.
So what? Go ahead.
No, please, hand and deal.
Yeah, so what it's doing for you is adding a few components, one to the service dependency dependency injection container, and then what it's doing is adding a health endpoint into your middleware. Now, this mirrors other things that are available to do the same function as providing health, but what you can see here, sorry, I need to get the right endpoint typed up here. And what it's doing there is providing you a nice interface. If you're in a cloud environment and you want to know what's happening on it, you have things like disk space. It's Kubernetes ready with this liveness readiness probes. And you can get at a single glance the status that it's up. Now, there's all kinds of tooling that can take advantage of this. You can write your own tooling to manage your instances in the cloud. There are all kinds of use cases for this. So you can get that successful result from this health endpoint, you know your component is working fine. So as you're troubleshooting problems in the cloud, this is very helpful. So that's a simple thing that you can add, and you saw how easy it was to add it. It didn't mess with any of your business logic. You just added it to your container and to your pipeline, and it just seamlessly worked.
One of the things I really like about like tooling and additional functionality like these is that it reminds me of a couple of years ago. Like, this was stuff that I used to have to write by hand myself over and over again. And I'm like, how many times do I have to write configuration? How many times am I going to have to write like health checks, right? And it's always different, right, based on the application. Yes. So it's great that I'm guessing you have your own set of libraries and tooling around this. So yes, like you said before, I could write my own health actuator, I'm guessing, that would plug into the ones that you already have to extend different scenarios. I'm guessing you also use or can sit on top of or work beside the ones that come with ASP.NET Core, right?
Yes, absolutely. So today, Zavril provides a whole bunch of ASP.NET health checks for all your databases and many things. There's dozens of health checks that they provide, and they all build on the Microsoft iHealthCheck abstraction, right? So we have our own iHealth contributor abstraction that we also, there are teams that are already using our abstraction. So we combine these two because now there's so much, that's the beauty of open source, that anybody can come in and provide value in this ecosystem. Before, we'd have to wait for Microsoft to do something like that. And them being one company, they're focusing on the most important thing to do for everybody. Whereas open source projects can come in and provide all kinds of value for developers, and it's just free for the taking. right? So it's, I think, a great time to be alive as a developer and take advantage of all these things.
For sure. So then I guess one of the things I'm wondering is, do I have to pick between theirs? Between Steeltoe's health checks and .NET Core health check? Or can I use them both together? Or like, how does that work?
Together. So one of the things that happens when you use theirs, like use the Microsoft Health Check, and you use a health contributor, it obviously doesn't know about this, right? So because those health contributors weren't built for that. So the other thing about it is the health endpoint has its own way of representing and serializing the health data. There are toolings that's already... for example, Cloud Foundry is a quick example I can think of, or Spring Boot Admin is a quick example. They work with the Spring format, right? So this makes it available in that same format. And not only does it make it available, it makes all of the ASP.NET Core, Zabberl, or anybody else building an iHealth check, Microsoft iHealth check abstraction, makes it available in this format. So it all depends on what your need is, what your tooling is, and what you're doing with it. And it's completely flexible. And Zabberl even has a nice UI that you can plug into this, that you can get a different kind of dashboard. Yeah, so we're all about choices for developers and whatever floats your boat. You know, more options are better. And yet we provide a simplified and opinionated way to do things that we hope you'll find useful and helpful and make you more productive.
Great, that sounds good. So other than health checks, what else do we have?
So another thing that's got quite a bit of a problem in microservices is, tracing and, correlating your logs to your traces. So there's all kinds of tooling that's available to trace your application with Zipkin, for example. And then you have your traces. How do you correlate them? So we're going to take a look at how we can make that happen. And again, there are two simple components we're going to add. One is called dynamic logging. And some of these things I'm just showing like really the tip of the iceberg of functionality here, right? So if we're looking for dynamic logging, it can do a lot more things where you can at runtime scale up and scale down your log levels, right? That's a useful thing to have when you're in the cloud. You don't have to redeploy stuff. You just update the config via an API call, and it will automatically increase the verbosity if there's a certain component that's giving you a problem. Or even you could say even a certain namespace inside your application that's giving you a problem, what you can say is, let's say my company dot component one dot feature two, turn up the logging for that. And you can do that at runtime. So that's a great feature. I'm not showing that right now, but what I do want to show is the distributed tracing, like I mentioned. So we've installed this and we're going to come in here again to, program.js. And what we're going to do is, add this, we're going to configure logging, right? And say context and builder, let's say builder.add dynamic console, right? And that's about it. That's about all you have to do to add the dynamic console. And all it'll do right now is just give you an error message. And let's go ahead and go to the controller and say, use your regular logging abstraction. We didn't change any of the abstractions, right? We're using what's been built into the framework. And say, from the constructor, and all right, so did I add my reference? No, let's add the reference. Add manage NuGet packages, and let's look for tracing this time. No, not that one. We want the Steeltoe management tracing core and install that.
And so now this is the package that's going to enable like that distributed tracing functionality.
And not, yeah. And so what we're showing right now is basically log correlation right now. We're not going to, there's a lot more functionality to these components that we're not getting into for sake of time right now. Right. But all we do is add this to our service container. And there you go. IntelliSense to the rescue. It tells you what to do, right? And that's pretty much it. Yeah. And so let's go ahead and run this application again. And this time, we're going to look for some log messages in the output, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, so this correlating logs and your context, you know, you see that you're tracing your application and this particular component is taking a long time. And you want to know what the context in which it executed was. And you want to see the actual headers to be able to see where the problem actually happened. And so now you see this hi from constructor. And so you see these tracing headers that will allow you to search if you're dumping your logs into a different system and your traces in a different system. And you see slowness or whatever, you can go and look at your logs and examine them together. Or if you get an error, this is super useful. Again, what we want to show here is how easy it is to add a little bit of SteelTor goodness without messing with any of your, you know, application logic at all, without touching it. And that's kind of the demo here.
That was a really great demo. And again, like, I love how easy it is for us to just add methods and add NuGet packages without interrupting our code so much, but instead it adds so much rich functionality on top of what we're already doing in terms of our business logic and our microservices that we're trying to create. So why don't we talk a little bit about what else can we do with SteelToe and like what are some of the other benefits that we get from adopting this framework?
Absolutely. So here's a few more examples and places where SteelToe can really help you. Now, the first, obviously, we are moving to a microservice framework. In today, they're the new normal, right? So if you're an enterprise application and you have a lot of teams, it is really important not to block one another with a monolith and 20 teams inside one code base trying to figure out who goes first and go to production quickly. So you need to be able to iterate independently. And so this is a given. So in this world of microservices, we've seen how SteelToe adds all kinds of goodness to help you manage them, troubleshoot them, make them reliable in production. And it does it without obstructing your code or interfering with our code and your business logic. What SteelToe provides you is a way not to do what we call yak shaving, right? Do not provide undifferentiated value. Like, your value should be differentiated as a developer. And if you're serving an enterprise and its business concerns, your efforts should go towards meeting those business concerns, those new products, new features, and not so much about how to make things that have been solved over and over again and keep repeating and doing them over and wasting the time of businesses. So it helps you deliver value pretty much. And then another advantage of using SteelToe is you need resilience patterns, and resilience patterns are hard to create on your own. And so there are many that are available, and there are many practices. So SteelToe encodes some of those practices and makes it very easy to get set up with minimum fuss. So you have things like load balancing, circuit breaking. We've seen a little bit of distributed tracing and monitoring. And so much more. The second thing is, where are you deploying to? You may be deploying to a specific cloud, to multiple clouds, no matter where you're going, or you could even be on-premise in an air-gapped environment because of security or whatever concern. And SteelToe can help you there with the components and the open-source tooling that comes from our teams around, you know, service discovery or any of the microservice concerns that you face normally in the cloud, right? So Steeltor does not tie you to any specific cloud. Even though VMware is our sponsor, we don't just go to VMware. You can go to Azure with it. You can go to GCP with it. Wherever .NET can run, Steeltor can help you there, right? And finally, if you're building web apps, right, that's a big use case for enterprises to create web applications. And there's still a lot of concerns that Steeltor can help you with. One is everybody needs application configuration. How do you manage configuration? Steeltor makes it really easy to consume configuration. You know, whether or not you're in the cloud, especially if you're in the cloud, that becomes a big problem that Steeltor can solve. A second thing is data access. You know, everybody needs to talk to a database, and whether you're using a relational, non-relational database or cloud-based data service, it is probably a Steeltor connector that can help you bridge that gap and make it very easy to develop. And finally, you know, talking about microservices, only recently people have started talking about event-driven architectures for microservices. Oftentimes, you have this chain of dependencies of microservices, and they're not the most optimal way to represent your business logic, because in reality, business represents an event. It's better represented by an event architecture, event-driven architecture. There's new stuff coming, just new with 3.0 release coming up with Steeltor Stream. And now some of you may be familiar with the Spring Cloud Stream project, and it builds on the abstractions of Spring messaging and Spring integration. And basically it helps you have loose coupling and helps you code to an abstraction as opposed to being bound to a certain broker or whatever the case may be. And if you already have applications, maybe Java applications using some of these abstractions, it becomes so much easier for your teams to all come in together, whether you're using .NET or Java. So that'll be a great addition for the Steeltor library. And there are more new additions coming up. And one definitely that we're looking forward to is Azure Spring Cloud for .NET. And what it is a managed service that provides you Spring Cloud discovery, Spring Cloud config server, and application monitoring built in. It's built for Spring applications, and now it's also available for, it's been there for Spring Java applications for a while, Azure Spring Cloud. Now it's also available for .NET.
Well, a little bit of clarification there, Ananil. The Java version of Azure Spring Cloud is going to be coming out of public preview to BGA later this year, 2020. And then we're going to do a fast follow. It's already in development. It's basically already a thing privately. The .NET version of Azure Spring Cloud is going to follow that later this year, 2020, maybe early 2021, somewhere around there.
Cool. Thank you for that. I for some reason, assumed it was all, yeah, but cool. Thank you. And so that's pretty much our presentation on what Steeltor can do for you. Definitely, if you're a .NET developer and you're building microservices, it's definitely worth taking a look at. You know, there's lots of open source libraries and projects going on, and Steeltor helps you use many of them. So you should definitely take a look at it. You can learn more about it at steeltor.io. You know, there's getting started guides, documentation. And in general, if you're just a new developer and you're trying to get started with .NET, I think this is a great place, in addition to all the other places you go to learn stuff, to come and learn how developers do things, because we're definitely informed by a polyglot worldview, right? So coming from a little bit from the Java side, a little bit from the .NET side, I think we make the world a better place looking at it that way. And there's obviously training that's available if your team is interested that we can pursue. And if you have support questions, so we have an open Slack, anybody can join, slack.steeltor.io. Slack or Stack Overflow is another place you can ask questions. Submit a PR if you have a great idea, or open an issue if you have an idea that you think we should do. So Yeah, so that's pretty much my conclusion here. Thank you so much for having. And do you have any questions for me, Cecil?
No, but definitely this was a lot of great information and a really good introduction to what SteelToe can do and some of the other capabilities he has. I can tell you, I've been a fan of SteelToe for a little bit, for a couple of years now. And moving forward into 3.0, I'm really interested in that streaming functionality that you mentioned just a little while ago, and the and you know, like the binders and like some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So maybe sometime in the future we can have you all come back on and we could talk about streaming and what some of that stuff looks like whenever it's ready and whenever we're ready to demo it. But for folks that are watching, so you know, if you haven't yet, you could take a little picture of the slide, or if you want, you can check out the show notes down below, and you could see where you could go to learn about SteelToe, the getting started guides. Definitely go over to the GitHub repo and, you know, check out some of the code, right, and see what the samples and things like that they have over there look like. So we just saw a lot of really good demos about SteelToe and how we can build microservices with .NET applications. I definitely recommend all of you go and check it out, like we mentioned before. Thank you both, gentlemen from the team, coming on and talking to us about it. I definitely want to do some more. I definitely want to keep this conversation going because I feel like there's so much functionality that's available that we haven't even really touched the surface of what's possible.
We're at the tip of the iceberg here.
Right. So we got to make sure that we have, you know, some of you folks back on or some of your other teammates come on, and definitely let's keep the conversation going and learn like how rich this framework is and how much we could actually do with .NET and building microservice type applications.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you so much for having us over here, and it's always great to be on your show.
Sure. Thank you. And then thank you, all of our folks that are watching. This has been another episode of the On.NET Show, where we learned about SteelToe for building microservices with .NET applications.